Okay, welcome to Hebrew Club, everybody. And as we get ready to celebrate our Lord's Passion, but especially His resurrection, we are on Amos chapter 9. So we only got one chapter to go of this book. And so I'll probably divide it up this week, and then the week after next Tuesday, then we'll finish up the book, right?
Okay. So
that'd be pretty awesome.
And we'll meet next Tuesday, too.
Yeah, so we'll meet next Tuesday, so we're not missing anything. So we are on chapter 9, like I said, in which is kind of a continuation of the themes we heard on chapter 8, in chapter 8 until we get closer to the end. So let's go through these verses. Verse 1, Ra'iti et Adonai nitzav al ha-mizbeach v'yomer hak ha-kaftor ve-yirashu ha-sipim. Ooh, oh, I got to keep going, sorry. U betzam berosh kulam ve'acharitam bacherev eherog lo yanus lahem nas ve'lo yamaleit lahem palit. That's a long verse. All right. I saw, so again, you know, that's common from call perfect. I saw Adonai Nitzav sitting. Okay, this is a nifal from Natzav. Nifal participle, there is no call form. So notice after a verb of perception, I saw Yahweh sitting. So the participle kind of completes the thought. It's like a supplementary participle. I saw Adonai sitting. Now this is not on the altar, so it's got to be by the altar. And it's not sitting, it's standing, so I got everything wrong there. I saw Adonai standing by the altar. Hamizbeach. All right. Again, this form does not occur in the call, so it's a nifal participle, nitzav. All right. Va yomer, and he said, hak. Can anyone see what root that is from? There's only one root letter there, actually. It is from the root naka. It is a hifil imperative. Naka is fairly common. It means to strike. All right. So here's one where almost everything disappears because it's a hifil imperative. So all you have is that cough.
Wow.
Really interesting, yeah. So the first nun drops off, and of course the hay drops off. So you have hak, right? Hak ha kaftor. Okay, the kaftor is the on a column, on a stone column, it would be called in English we call it the capital. So it's the top of the stone, like the ornate thing. I don't know, Michael, what it would be in German. I have no idea. What's that?
Me neither.
Yeah, okay, good. That's funny. So it's that part. So strike the cap, maybe someone would call it the kaptor. Vet yirashu. So notice following the inherent imperative, you have this vav plus imperfect from ra'ash. Ra'ash means to shake. All right, so it's a call, imperfect, masculine, plural, yir ashu, so strike the head so that they will shake. And now the subject is ha sipim, and that's the thresholds or the foundations will shake. So notice he's obviously in the temple, and he's standing by the altar, and he's telling... he just says to anyone in general, maybe, I don't know who he's talking to, actually, to strike the columns, and the columns would be, what holds up the entranceway, the gateways, those kinds of things, and the threshold will shake, ra'ash, okay? So following the imperative, a lot of times that vav plus imperfect, you can translate as purpose or result, so strike it with the result that, so that... threshold shake. U betza'am, that's another imperative. Batza'am means to cut short, cut off. And then that am is the suffix, third masculine plural suffix, betza'am. It looks really weird. So it's another imperative. So it's parallel to hak. So strike the kapfor so that the thresholds shake and cut them, okay, at the head, berosh, kulam. So notice kulam is really the object. Cut at the head all of them. Or cut them at the head all of them. So notice how the kulam kind of reinforces the suffix. Cut them at the head all of them. Now he seems to have switched from talking about buildings to talking about people here, because acharitam, acharit means here what's left over from them. So acharit, they're ones left behind, the left behind ones, the ones that are left with the sword, eherog, I will kill. All right. So in the first part of the verse, he seems to be talking about the tabernacle, or I'm sorry, the temple itself, that the temple, you know, strike it and the foundations themselves will crumble or shake. And then he says, cut them at the head, all of them, and what's left I will kill with the sword, seems to be talking about people. And remember, Amos is talking now in the 8th century, mainly to the north, okay? Lo, and now notice he's kind of talking about people in the next line. Lo yanus lahem nas. So nas is a participle from the hollow verb nus. And that's the subject of yanus. Nus means to flee. So not will he flee from them. We'd almost have to translate from them in respect to them. A nas, a fleer. So a fleer will not flee from them. In other words, it's a way of saying no one will escape. A fleer will not flee from them, and not will escape yimalate or be delivered. That's a nifal imperfect from them. A palit, okay. Again, a survivor. Palit. All right. So both lines repeat. Yeah. So notice, no. The gist is no one's going to escape. And notice the kind of play on words as you can see with the repetition. Lo yanus lahem nas velo yimalet lahem palit. See the play on sound? Okay.
So could the lahem also mean, like, of them, meaning out of them, that group? Or?
Yeah, so of the people.
Yeah, so none of the people?
Would... Yeah, so, I mean, it reinforces, cut them at the head, all of them, and what's left, see, their leftovers, with the sword I will kill. Now he reiterates that in other words. No one's going to be able to flee. I mean, usually in a lot of stories, someone flees and tells the news.
Right.
So here he says, there's not even going to be anyone escape. There's not going to be any fugitive, any escaping. No one's going to get away. It's
right.
Kind of total destruction. So that second line reinforces and actually gets more specific about, when I say all, I'm not exaggerating. That's not kind of hyperbole. I mean all. Everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really interesting. Good. Any other questions about verse 1? Okay. Now notice, he keeps... I mean, you can see in the Hebrew text, verses 2 and 3, how they all start with this im, im. Again, the second line of verse 1, or that last line of verse 1, notice the syntax. You have lo plus the verb plus the preposition plus the subject, then lo plus the verb plus the preposition plus the subject. Everybody see how nice that syntax? So it's kind of, you get this marching thing. So let's see what happens in verse 2. Im yach teru bishol misham yadi tikachem ve'im ya'alu hashamayim misham oridem. All right. If yach teru, now that's from chatar, to dig. Okay, and it's call imperfect. If they dig to Sheol, okay, if they dig down to Sheol, or it's a hifil, I guess. If they dig down to Sheol, or in Sheol, from there my hand, tikachem, will take them from lakach. Okay, and if ya'alu, what's the root of ya'alu? Allah, good. And if they go up to Hashamayim, to the heavens, from there, O redeem, I will bring them down. That's a hifil from the root Yarad. Okay?
And Tikachem is a call?
Yes, that is a call form. And that comments is under there. I mean, it's kind of regularly you see that form.
Could it be a nifal? Well, it is not a Nifa'a, obviously, but could right. it be from a form? Like
from count? The form, if you look at it, you could say, well, that looks like a Nifa'a, yeah. Correct. Okay. Good. Any questions through two? Okay, he continues there. So again, notice how he is going into detail about how complete the destruction. If someone should go all the way to heaven, I'm going to get him.
Yeah? Sounds hopeless.
Yeah. I mean, notice that last word, oridame, yarad, means to go down, but in the hifil, it would mean to bring down. It takes the object. Okay. So verse 3, ve'im yechav'u berosh ha'karmel misham acha pace ulakachtim ve'im yisat ru negede nai bekarka hayam miyam atzave et hanachash u neshacham. Okay, if they are hidden, this is from Chava, notice that this is a nifal imperfect. If they are hidden at the top of HaKarmel, of Carmel, Mount Carmel, from there, Achapes, from Chafas, I will search. P-A-L, imperfect, from Chafas. I will search, U lakachtim, and I will take them. Okay. Ve'im yisatru, notice again another nifal. If they are hidden away, mineget enai, from before my eyes, bekarka hayam. Karka means the bed of the sea, the bottom of the sea. Misham, from there, atzaveh, I will command, p'el from atzaveh, from zava, I will command et hanachash, the serpent, u neshakam, and it will bite them. So this is from nashak, to bite, nashach, to bite. All right. Everybody see how notice the rhythm of Amos. Amos has a lot of these kinds of things, these regularities in his speech and in the syntactical. So notice how it just unfurls. If so-and-so, from there, so-and-so. If so-and-so, from there, so-and-so. If from so-and-so, from there, so-and-so. See? And now he has one more. Ve'im yelchu bashvi. Lifnei oivehem misham atzaveh et hacharev vaharagatam. And if they go into the captivity, again from halak, and shavi is a noun for captivity, if they go into the captivity, lifnei oivehem, before their enemies, misham, from there, atzaveh, I will command et hacharev, the sword, vaharagatam, and it will kill them. Notice that haragatam is third feminine singular, perfect, all right, from harag, to kill. So the sword is feminine. It's feminine because cherev is feminine. I will command the sword and it will kill them. Again, it's the same root as eh, rogue, in verse 1, at the end of verse, that one line in verse 1. Okay. Notice how he sums it up in this next line. Vesamti eini alehem l'ra'av lo l'tova, and I will put my eye from Seem. Everybody see this? A call from Seem. I will put my eye on them l'ra'ah, for disaster, and not l'tova, for good. Or you could say for evil and not for good.
Looking at the writing here, these little like half brackets.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what? Yeah.
How do we recognize precisely how to fit that into the okay. rest of the writing?
So that's a good question.
One is
yeah.
placed above, one is placed
right.
below.
So what the editors are doing, they don't want to break the line and put the last word on the next line.
Mm-hmm.
So they will either bump it up or bump it down. And the only way you know it is if you're going to verse 3, you get to the second line, ve'im yisatru. So you just have to follow along, et hanachash. You know there's another word because there's not that sof pasuk there, the end of the verse.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go up. And that's where the bracket kind of tells you, okay, that's the end of verse 3. And then you go along verse 4, top line. Now what's happening here, see the bracket leads you to haragatam.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a pause, and then you go. So it's the editor's kind of convention for saving space, I suppose, or for telling you. But yeah, you do have to actually follow pretty carefully.
Mm-hmm. You just got to figure out what's going to work the best, what is the rest of this line looking for.
Right.
Okay.
So you see, from there I will command the sword. Now you're waiting to complete the thought.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's generally, if you see that and you see that bracket, you know that that bracket somehow goes with the line.
Mm-hmm. So at some point this text was written with wide enough margins, wide enough columns.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd have to look and see what the manuscript looks like. So I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right, verse 5 now. Varunai Elohim ha-tzeva'ot ha-nogea ba'aretz va-tamog ve'avlu kol yoshvei ba ve'alta kaye'or kula ve'shaka kior Mitzrayim. All right. And Adonai Yahweh, of the hosts or of the armies, he is the one who touches ha-nogea. Okay, so notice that you have a participle here as a substantive, the one who touches ba'aretz, the earth, vatamog, and it melts. This is a call, okay, imperfect vav consecutive from the root moog, to melt, or it can also be translated to shake. And which makes sense in the context, given that this is talking about an earthquake. Or not, there's an earthquake in the background from verse 1, right? Okay, he is the one who touches the earth and it shakes. Ba'avlu, and all the inhabitants in it will mourn. Avlu. Okay. Notice that Yoshvei is a call participle plural in construct with the preposition ba. Don't let that bother you. Just translate it as you normally would. All the inhabitants in it will mourn. Okay? Ve'alta, everybody see that that's a call. Vav plus perfect. Third, feminine singular. Kula is the subject, which is kol plus the third feminine singular suffix, because it's referring to the earth, which is feminine. So all of it will rise up as the Nile. Ye'or is Nile, the Nile River. Okay. Veshaka. Now you can probably guess, even if you haven't seen this word, it's an uncommon word. Again, you see it's a call, perfect, third feminine singular. And what's the opposite of to rise? To sink, yes. And it will sink like the river, like the Nile of Egypt. And remember, what's he talking about when he talks about the rise and the fall of the Nile River? Well, he's talking about the annual flooding, right? Because the Nile would rise, boom, flood, and then come back, recede. So what he's saying, notice what he's saying, when he touches the earth and it shakes and all the people in it will mourn, so that the earth, all of it, will go up like the Nile and sink like the Nile. So in other words, if you think of an earthquake like that, see, that's what he's describing is going to happen, and he's using the Nile as kind of an analogy to think of the rise and fall, the flooding of the Nile. That's how the earth is going to be when I touch it. Okay, so you see him kind of really talking in terms of judgment here. All right.
Why are there different forms? One time kai yor and one time ki or.
I don't know. That's a good question. I wonder if the first one has the article and the second one doesn't. It's a different way of pointing. Kayor. I don't know. I would have to look at the grammars more carefully to see why the different spelling. Good question. All right, verse 6. Haboneh bashamai ma'alotav va'agudato al eretz yesada hakore lemihayam va'yish pekem al pnei ha'eretz Adonai shemo. All right. The one who builds, Okay, see the participle, habona, from bana, to build. So he's using participles as substantives. It's parallel to hanogea, the one who touches on the earth. So the one who, and notice how he's going from earth to heavens, the one who builds in the heavens, ma'alotav, his steps or his, you could either translate it as steps or his, something upstairs, the upstairs rooms kind of thing.
He says upper chambers.
Yeah, chambers, upper chambers. Okay. Va'agudato, and his vaults or something like that on the earth, or his vault on the earth, yesada, he founded it. Notice that that's a call from Yasad plus third feminine singular suffix. So the one who builds in the heavens his upper chambers or his stepways, and his vault over the earth he founded it. And I think that's probably referring to the heavens, you know. Hakore, another participle, the one who calls. Okay. Leme hayam, to the waters of the sea. Vayishpekem, and pours them from shafak. Again, a vav, consecutive one, who pours them over the face of the earth. Adonai Shemo. Yahweh is his name. Okay. We're going to stop there and save the rest for next week. We'll have to go real fast next week, but we'll get it. All right. Any questions through six? All right. Very good, you guys. Have a blessed Easter, and I will see you next week.